12 to 9 on ABC Radio Darwin. Adam Steer and Joe Laverty with you. The Chief Minister of the Northern Territory, Michael Gunner, currently making an announcement about the Territory's vaccine rollout. We've reached a big milestone, apparently. Ooh. We'll take you to him now.
We are the safest, but we can only stay the safest if we remain the best and we keep hitting that vaccination program. We're 6 months in. We're at 60% first dose. We're at 40% second dose. Out remote, we're at 46% first dose and 29% second dose. We need those numbers to go up. We've got good programs in place. We are driving it out. We're working very closely with the Australian government and the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Sector, who are responsible for a lot of that remote community vaccination program. We have been doing dose sharing. We're working together to make sure we get those remote numbers higher and we get Territorians' overall vaccination rate higher. That's what we need to do to make sure Territorians are safe and we can start stepping out into that national plan. I'll pass to the Health Minister, who will provide even more detail again about what we're doing to drive that vaccination program and drive those vaccinations. But a big thank you to Territorians, who have kept doing the right thing all the way through this crisis. I get that it can be deflating when you see what's happening down in New South Wales and people down there not buying in. And probably is true for all Australians. It would be very true for everyone in Sydney doing the right thing. And there are a lot of people in Sydney doing the right thing. But here in the Territory, we'll keep driving those vaccination numbers.
OK, so there's Michael Gunner. Just a moment ago, the Territory now reached a 60% first dose vaccination rate. 40% of the population is double vaxxed, but that vaccination rate, fully vaccinated people in remote communities, sitting only at 29%, Joe. Interestingly, and I don't want to be a naysayer about those statistics, but today is the very first day that kids over the age of 12 are eligible for the vaccine outside of Greater Darwin. So I wonder whether that, I mean, I don't know how many people are in that population, 12 to 16 outside Greater Darwin. Might not be that many.
Apparently quite a few. Michael Gunner's talked about, especially in remote communities, the demographic is skewed much younger than it is in the rest of the Territory, but also especially around the rest of Australia. And I've spoken before to the Menzies School of Health, and they go to remote communities and they do health seminars, and the kids come from schools and they learn about smoking and drinking and a bunch of other things, cholesterol, interesting things like that. And then the kids go home and share the information with parents. And what they've found is that the guidance of the children is able to change the habits of the adults. So it will be quite interesting if kids 12 and above are learning more about, well, you can get a vaccine now. And if they go home and tell mum and dad and auntie and uncle and the grandparents about what they want to do, maybe that will influence others in the household as well.
Yeah, we'll see how that works. So during last week's lockdown, the Northern Territory Chief Health Officer Hugh Hagee mentioned that the NT was on track to reach 80% vaccination mark by October. This is the mark that the federal government says will set you all but free. But what happens if, say, 80% of people are vaccinated in Darwin, but the mark is substantially lower in remote areas of the Territory? Here's Dr. Hugh Hagee.
I would speak to please Aboriginal people that might see or hear this, that in New South Wales at the moment, in Western New South Wales, out of all of the cases there, 60% are Aboriginal persons, and also a large number of them are younger persons. So it's not just the elderly who get this infection.
The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, was asked by David Spears on Insiders yesterday about the federal government's plan at 70% of the nation vaccinated.
You might have parts of the country, let's say Western New South Wales, where vaccination rates amongst Indigenous populations are a lot lower. You could have a similar situation in remote parts of the Northern Territory or Queensland. And I know what the numbers are, David. So what's important is that in those vulnerable populations, in unvaccinated populations, you need to continue to take strong precautions. I should also stress that once you get to 70%, as the modelling shows, you still have to do tests, you still have to do isolation, you still have to do quarantine.
So that was the Prime Minister yesterday. Mulindiri McCarthy, excuse me, is the Northern Territory's Labor Senator. Mulindiri, good morning. Welcome back to ABC Radio Darwin. Apologies about that.
Adam.
So look, that information we've got is 29% of those in remote communities are now fully vaccinated. What's your reaction to that? Is there still a lot of hesitancy in communities?
We still have a lot of work to do, Adam, and it's important to keep encouraging all Australians, but in particular First Nations people, to get vaccinated. There are clearly different messages still out there, and some of them not helpful. So we have to ensure that First Nations people have it in their languages, but also just to encourage the importance of getting vaccinated.
We've spoken about this before because the rollout has been successful in some jurisdictions. We talked about the success on the Tiwi Islands a few weeks ago. Is it certain jurisdictions? Is it certain language groups that are more hesitant than others, or is it certain jurisdictions that are more hesitant than others?
I think we see it where the strength is of Aboriginal community controlled health. When you have those local organisations involved and the elders involved, you have a far greater chance of being able to vaccinate First Nations people because the confidence is there in their elders or the people that they respect in their community who are providing the messaging. And it really comes down to just grassroots communications.
So what communities is there still a lot of hesitancy?
Well, I think there's probably hesitancy is probably broad. I don't think there's, you know, I wouldn't be able to identify a particular community and say that's a hesitant community. Perhaps some of the health workers and the clinicians who work and live in them would perhaps give you a better indication on that. What I would say is that the rollout is continuing in remote communities, including Goonbalanya, Imampa and Hart's Range in Central Australia. And we know that those will continue, and also this week along the Nooka area and hopefully Barunga Beswick with the Sunrise organisation there. So what we have to do is keep watching the messaging. Sometimes you might see on social media, Adam, people putting up messages that are just totally not correct. So those messages have to be quickly counteracted. So this has to be taken on a number of fronts, not just the actual physical vaccination, but the communication.
And Senator, what about today being the first day that kids 12 and over from areas outside of Greater Darwin are able to get the vaccine? How successful do you think that will be in communities?
Well, I just think that those places that have obviously led the way, like Maningrida, Wadir, and I know that vaccination's taken place in where I come from, in Borroloola as well, that people see this is important. And I think parents and families will be encouraging young ones to do that. And we have to, again, watch the messaging that is certainly out there on social media, and some of it, as I said earlier, is unhelpful. We have to really confront that immediately.
And we did just speak a moment ago to the Darwin Asylum Seeker Support Service, and you got a special shout-out for the support that you've given to those the detained refugees here in Darwin. And the last refugee family were released yesterday. Would you have preferred to see them stay here in Darwin, Senator?
Well, look, I was there on Saturday with them and Joe, and I just think that, you know, it is the work of the Darwin community and all those families in Darwin who just kept going to the gate every day at 5 p.m. That vigil was so critical on two fronts. One, to obviously enable the families to feel cared for and supported, but also to send a very strong message to authorities both in the Territory and beyond that this situation was just absolutely appalling.
Do you think that message was received federally?
Yes, I think so. I think it was really important to see. We were there Saturday, that the next morning Yaghob and Malachi and their children Abbas and Hajar were then told that they would be removed to Brisbane, and they certainly were over the moon about that and just absolutely delighted. Naturally, we had offered here in the Territory, and I know the Chief Minister has said this as well, that there were families in Darwin who were prepared to assist them in the Darwin community, and I'm sure that offer would always be there, irrespective of which family are in detention so severely as they were.
Good to speak with you on this. Thank you so much. That is Senator for the Northern Territory, Melindiri McCarthy on ABC Radio Darwin.
It's almost time for the latest in ABC News. So after the news, Joe, we're off to Katherine, a town we know that's been flooded by tourists through the dry, dealing with a serious housing crisis and grappling with the aftermath of its first snap lockdown. So the question is, who is up for the job of leading the Katherine Town Council as mayor? There's five candidates vying for your vote. You're going to meet all of them over the next hour or so. But